missed an episode of Tim and Sid? Listen to every episode and subscribe with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
Today on Tim and Sid, what does Sunday's MLS Cup have in store for Toronto FC?
What exactly are the Chiefs doing with Patrick Mahomes?
And what are the Leafs? Seriously.
That's a pretty good question.
What the hell are the Leafs right now? I don't have an answer. Do you have an answer?
I do.
Oh, stop it. Tim and Sid, let's go.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous Swag. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment. Yeah. It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
It is Friday, November 8th. I am exhausted. Bring on the weekend.
You worked 3 days this week.
It's not the point, Tim. This is Tim and Sid. We are on Sportsnet 360 until curling ends. Then we'll go back into the Sportsnet mains. Then we're off entirely at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. And the whole show is on Sportsnet 590, The Fan in Toronto. Got it? Good.
And since you understood, if you'd like to interact live with us during the show, you can do so, my friends. Instagram, Twitter, account number or name is at Tim and Sid. Facebook, also worth your time if you are one that dabbles on the Book of Faces, which Sid Sixero does not. Plus, if streaming is your thing, then Sportsnet Now should also be your thing. Just download the Sportsnet app for more information. After my son's baseball practice last night, we went and got pizza. Pizza shop was a little cold. Went inside the car, ate the pizza while watching hockey on my phone with Sportsnet Now.
I thought he had the hockey game last night.
He had a hockey game.
Yeah.
Finished the hockey game.
Right.
Big 4-3 win.
Huge.
For the boys.
I won some money on that. It's true.
And then went to baseball practice after, which is why he needed the pizza following the baseball practice.
Is this normal, or is your son like Bo Jackson?
I just want to say what you could do with Sportsnet Now. No, these days, it's normal.
That's normal, right?
Everyone practices year-round, no matter what the sport. It's kind of sort of crazy.
Wow.
I think that the old-school athletes look at that and say it's silly, but that's just the way it is right now.
It's making some money. It's what that is.
Well, and that's why I'm pumping Sportsnet Now, so I can hopefully get some money out of this to afford all of this.
Because heaven forbid Tim's son plays like another sport.
Dear God. Coming up over the next 2 hours, here on Tim and Sid, we will discuss Kawhi.
Load management.
Leafs.
Power play management.
Patrick Mahomes.
Injury management.
MLS Cup.
Go Sunday.
You didn't say anything that had to do with management then.
No, I didn't think of anything. Greg Vanney, management.
And soup.
Is it good?
What?
Is soup good?
Yeah, soup's good.
Because I've run into some people of late who don't like soup.
Well, you tweeted this out earlier, and it's kind of ridiculous when I really think about it. Who doesn't like, there's a soup for everybody. Who doesn't like soup?
I love soup, but you will find some people who are anti-soup.
But those people, there's no way that they're actually, they just haven't tasted enough soups because there is a soup for everybody.
Like they've only had one soup their entire life?
I'm done with soup!
And I'm done. But there's a lot of soups out there that you can try.
There's beef-based
you
soups.
You can try the beef
there's
soup,
vegetable-based
yes.
soups. There's a soup for everybody. You can have cucumber soup.
Cucumber soup? You're Vinny behind the camera
you
throwing
lemon,
up.
You know when you go to Swiss Chalet, you can have the lemon soup that they give you at Swiss Chalet.
Where's it from?
You just drink it from Swiss Chalet.
Swiss Chalet? Yeah. I love it. It's amazing.
You know that lemon soup?
It's amazing.
You ever have the lemon soup at Swiss Chalet?
I use the, yes, I clean, and then I it's a chaser. I highly suggest it to everybody.
Right.
I was just having a bisque, a tomato bisque today. And it was just amazing in my mouth.
It was scrumptious.
It was scrumptious.
Good.
And I'm thinking to myself, because I've seen people, it's all the rage now with the young people just ripping soup. Like, they don't think it's good. It's like, I like soup. And they're like, okay, boomer, you like soup. So I just wanted to defend soup today on social media, which, by the way, you retweeted, and I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of traction on it. So I just wanted to sit here and say, soup is amazing. It's great. Let's not let the soup tradition die. I know it's all about the TikTok. But keep soup alive.
It's all about the TikTok.
It's the kids and the TikTok. It's all they're doing.
All right.
TikTok and going to 3 practices a night, as
right.
you know. That's all the kids are doing.
Dancing on TikTok.
Dancing on TikTok.
And then going to practice.
When's my lawn darts practice? I got that after football.
Do you want the latest on Steph Curry?
Yeah. What's going on with Steph Curry?
All right. I just searched Steph Curry on the internet. because I wanted to know what the latest was.
Give me the latest.
On Steph Curry. Warriors refute report that Steph Curry is unlikely to play again this season.
Wow.
National Basketball Association news. So is Steph Curry, is this just common sense from the Golden State Warriors? Is this an actual story? Word came out earlier today that suggested that Steph Curry would sit out the rest of the year because the hand injury was worse than expected. I had written in my notes earlier when this happened that why wouldn't you just sit out Steph Curry and hope for the best possible pick that you could get, because he has had wear and tear on that body in the past.
Played a lot of basketball, Steph Curry. A ton of basketball.
And if Klay Thompson is in fact out for the rest of the year, why not? Because you're not going to win anyway.
Because you have a brand new arena. That's the only thing I go to. Everything you say, I agree with.
A lot of rich folks in San Francisco paying exorbitant amounts
of money.
But is this
the tank moment a month in, when you have a brand new arena that isn't cheap to get into?
No, but it's not the tank moment. All you got was, like, they're already out.
But if you say to Steph, listen, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you might be out for the year. Because we all know the Golden State Warrior doctors are on the level and they know what they're doing. Or maybe not. My point is, if he sits out the year, they're going to get a top three pick. Are they not?
Probably.
I don't care if D'Angelo Russell balls his brains out.
What was the first thing I said when we heard this story?
This story specifically?
David Robinson, Tim Duncan.
Yep.
Right?
Now, is that guy out there in the NCAA? I don't know.
We'll find out in a little while.
We'll find out.
Although Cole Anthony looked pretty good.
Yeah. But is there a Zion sitting there? I don't know.
Can you add him to the Splash Brothers?
Look.
And then watch them just shoot from center court the entire game?
The reality is, if Steph's gone for the year, Klay Thompson's obviously gone for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green, something will be made up where Draymond's gone for the year.
Draymond can play if he wants to play.
Yeah, or he could just rest and get bank, because the guys have been to 5 straight finals and they're exhausted.
I love how you used get bank. Like you're one of the kids.
Right? TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets bank.
Right.
And just sits there, because the guys have played their ass off the last 5 years. It's not like they haven't earned a break.
Yeah.
Go get a top three pick.
You want load management? How about we just sit down, don't play. They're going to buy tickets to this stupid arena anyway, and then hopefully next year everyone's back healthy and we're ready to make another run.
I could see them doing that. Because Steph needs a break.
No, but should we hate on it as supporters of the fans, as we are? We often feel like we are the translators for the fans, and oftentimes they are underrepresented. And if we get to the load management conversation on Kawhi Leonard, I want to talk about the fans there, too.
The NBA has a really strong and illustrious history of not giving a damn about the fans when a team is doing this. Like, what the hell has the NBA done in the last 20 years to stop any of this from going on? Zero.
A draft lottery.
Nothing, and that's even garbage. So if they don't, the Warriors don't care about their fan base if this is the direction they want to go, just as much as the Knicks didn't care about their fan base for the last couple of years, or the Sixers didn't care about their fan base, or the Suns, or any team that's really done this in a serious way for the last X amount of years.
They've sold them on this, though.
Who sold what on this?
The franchises have sold their fans on the idea of tanking. I think undersold in all of this is when the Golden State Warriors moved to San Francisco. They sold out their fan base anyway.
And, yeah, that was going to happen regardless.
Like going from Oakland to where they went in San Francisco, Mark Spears has been on here, told us eliminated a lot of their hardcore fans, the real fans that made all that noise, that made that place a tough place to go into.
But they're still one of the best entities in sport. Like, Spears, he's right. It's a different market. But did you think that crowd was going to not be as hot? It was going to suffer from energy? I didn't think that was going to be the case. What will make it suffer from energy is what I saw the other night against Portland, when half the lower bowl was empty, watching a team no one recognized.
But I think what I'm trying to tell you, and you're not listening, is that the reason why that lower bowl was empty is because they're not real fans. They're just people that wanted to go into a nice, new, shiny stadium.
Irrelevant of who was on the court.
The average ticket price for home games. Oh, this was at Oracle. Never mind. I'll keep looking.
What was that average price, out of curiosity?
$94 a ticket.
All right. Not the craziest thing I've ever
heard. It was $225 a ticket, which is close to $94 a ticket. $225 a ticket was the average ticket price.
Take it back. Raptors begin a 5-game road trip this evening. They are in New Orleans, speaking to teams that kind of tanked for stuff. The Pelicans and Zion Williamson. Obviously, Zion Williamson not healthy, but the Raptors are on the road this evening. And the crown jewel of this road trip, just a programming note to everyone watching and listening, will be this coming Monday as Kawhi Leonard, load management pending, is scheduled to take on the Toronto Raptors for the first time since leaving in the offseason. Again, that is a Monday night game. That is a Sportsnet game. Don't you dare miss it. I don't know if he's going to play, but don't you dare miss it. Kawhi Leonard against the Raptors.
Would he sit out against the Raptors?
This one, no. I think December 11th in Toronto.
No, that's when he gets his ring.
You think he cares about that?
Well, but he'll
he's getting his ring regardless.
So you just think he shows up in a suit?
They do it. They do it in the back and tweet it out.
No, that's not how they do that.
I don't know, man.
They have to bring him out.
Don't tell me any norm applies to Kawhi Leonard.
No. There's a standing ovation, and there's a presentation. And
I'm not saying he won't get that.
No, but you do it at center court where everyone can stand and pay homage to the only Raptor that ever brought you a title.
I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is to assume you know what Kawhi Leonard wants on any given night is foolhardy, is all I'm saying.
San Francisco gate from November 7th, 2019. 49ers ticket prices are skyrocketing while Warriors ticket prices are cratering. No guff. Under no guff.
That market changed in a hurry, didn't it?
Oh, my God.
By the way, the Niners are a fraud, and we're all going to find that out next Monday night. Give me a break. Jimmy Garoppolo. Sure. He's going to win you a Super Bowl. Sure. He's going to win you a conference over Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, hold on.
Holy cow.
They have a great running game, and they have a good defense.
They have an okay running game.
Nobody said
that
Jimmy Garoppolo was going to win you anything.
Fans believe it.
What they've told you is that this is a real team.
It's a good team.
And you didn't want to believe this to start, so to start calling them a fraud now is Stephen A. Smith take.
They're not coming out of that conference. You know that, and I know that.
I'm not saying they're coming out of that conference, but they've already proven that they're real. 8-0 is already real. The wins that they have on this slate are real. And now we'll see with the Seahawks nipping at their heels what they're
We'll see what expectations bring out. So it's one thing if you're sneaking up on people.
Oh, I see.
The other thing is Monday night against Seattle on a national audience. Let's see. It's go time, Garoppolo. Let's go, the next Brady. Superstar.
He said that he was
You know
bad.
Those people are out there. Did, don't give me that. You know those people are out there.
He did get paid
it's
like
ridiculous.
That.
Ridiculous.
He did get paid like that.
Damn right. Logan McAuliffe makes my point for him. Absolutely love it.
Los Angeles Rams 20-7. Carolina 51-13. Pretty good wins.
51-13 is ridiculous.
Seattle, Arizona, Green Bay all at home. We'll see.
We'll see.
Then they go on the road to Baltimore.
We'll see.
There you go.
Listen, but the start's ridiculous. I don't want to completely dump on it. I just don't buy the Niners. I just don't.
Oh, Seattle, Arizona, Green Bay at home, on the road in Baltimore and New Orleans. You're about to see. You are about to see how good
the Baltimore-New Orleans stretch, Timmy, that's going to be telling. A lot going on today on Tim and Sid. We got Soup. Also, Best of the Week nominees will be unveiled this hour. Nate Burleson of NFL Network and CBS Sports will drop by Week 10 in the NFL. We've dove into it a little bit here. Big games on the sked. Patrick Mahomes is coming back this week. Plenty to talk about. Also, Toronto FC Seattle prepare for MLS Cup this Sunday. One of our good friends, James Sharman, will join us to talk about it. It's Friday. It's Tim and Sid. Hockey and more basketball talk coming up here on the show.
Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid on TV and radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan in Southern Ontario and across the nation on Sportsnet 360. I'm Tim McAuliffe. Sid Sixero sits across from me. Time now for the lead and megaphone brought to you by Rogers Ignite TV. Now you're in command. You've been voting all day long, or at least we hope you have. Sportsnet.ca/vote. I say that all the time because I think it's presumptuous for us to assume that they are voting all day.
Speak for yourself. I assume the country stops what it's doing at all times to be part of this vote.
Option number one, Leafs beat the Golden Knights in OT. Option number two, Kawhi Leonard is not happy with the NBA. Option number three, the Raiders beat the Chargers on Thursday Night Football. As of right now, 54% for the first option, Leafs in OT, 39% for Kawhi versus the NBA, and Thursday Night Football running a distant third at this juncture in time.
Not too surprised by that based on how that Leaf game went last night.
Oh, yeah?
This has been a strange week.
It has been a strange
week. Has it not? Like, it feels...
But, for the first time this season, the Toronto Maple Leafs have won three on the run.
This is correct.
This after Captain John Tavares scored the OT winner 2-1 victory over the Vegas Golden Knights last night. Sid, there's been a lot of different storylines surrounding this team. I'm going to ask you the question you asked me off the top of this show. 17 games in, what are the Toronto Maple Leafs? Who are the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Maddening. That's my answer to that question.
Maddening. Says Sid Zixero. Why does Sid Zixero say maddening? Because everything seems maddening to you.
This one in particular seems maddening to me.
Okay.
I've never seen a team that can make a fan base feel like it does during wins. Does that not seem rather odd to you? If you went through, now Twitter is not the judge, jury, and execution on anything. Let's preface every conversation with that.
Right.
But if you were to go back to the Kings game earlier this week and the Golden Knights game last night and go through Leafs Twitter and not know the end result of the game, like cap it with maybe 5 minutes to go in the third or 10 minutes to go, no one would think they won those games. The feeling inside the fan base, what they were watching, what they were consuming, you would not assume a Leafs win would end the night.
But isn't that true of every team that's like every team that has any sort of expectations? I feel like it goes through that.
Not like this, though. Do you think it's like this? Do you think it's going 16 straight minutes without a shot on goal? Do you think it's Mitch Marner and Willie Nylander combining for two shots on goal and Shea Theodore, who's a defenseman, having four on the night?
Well, I do have an answer for Mitch Marner, but we'll get to that later.
All right, good, good. This team is on talent and the occasional goaltending.
Last night goaltending.
Finding ways to win, and that's important. That's a good thing if you're a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't want to argue otherwise. Points are tasty. Points get you to the postseason and higher seeds. But no one can tell me this feels right. No one can tell me this team is where it should be. Now, we're November. Shouldn't be anywhere.
Yeah, where should it be? That was my next question.
But this it follows a type of script we've seen over the last couple of years, where there's talent there, there's a goalie, and they're getting wins here and there in some rather odd ways. But it just feels weird. That Kings game should have been a dusting. An absolute dusting. But Frederik Andersen bails them out completely last night. The power play has evaporated.
So the Los Angeles Kings should lose every game that they play?
Didn't say that. They did lose. They lost to the Sens last night. It should be a dusting. They lost to the Sens last night.
But should they, right? Should they lose every game that they played? Won five games this year.
They won five games this year.
Right.
The Leaf game was
way too close. Do you want me to go through?
Close.
I can go on the internet and find out what they're... Like, you're cut and dry on the Leafs is... And listen... I love you, and I say this with the greatest of love.
Hold on. There is a huge rip coming. Anyone who starts a sentence like that, there is a massive rip hiding around
just
the corner.
Just say that when you're
holding your billy club.
You're cut and dry on this, a team who, and I get that they've played a few more games, is second in the Atlantic, is kind of nauseating. Like, the cut and draw. Like, Freddie Andersen saved that game last night.
It was amazing last night.
But it was also a good team on the other side of the ice, was it not?
It was. The Kings weren't. But
no.
Last night was
but
a good team.
But you want to pick and choose when the other team is good and when they're not good.
It's not my fault when the team sucks across from them. I'm just telling you that they suck.
But they won three in a row.
They've won three in a row. First time this season. They've won three in a row. Correct. But that's when I'm saying maddening. That's why, when you asked me, what are they? That's why my answer was maddening. Because they're getting some results here.
Okay.
In rather odd ways.
But if you want to go that way, then I'll say, why don't you just say, and I understand that goaltending is remarkably important for every team, but does any one team rely on any one goalie more than the Leafs rely on Frederik Andersen? I'll take that. That I'll take.
Yeah.
I'll also take, if you want to chop the Maple Leafs, is if you're not going to play with any grit or any sandpaper, or not touch anyone who drills your best players, then you must overwhelm with offense. And their power play is 21st in the league, and they're 9th in the league in scoring. They're not overwhelming anybody with all this skill that they have compiled. Now, will it take some time? Probably. Have they been without their captain for half of the season? Yes, at this juncture in time. So my patience for this team, and my patience probably for all teams, is a little more than you. But if you're going to rip away, those are the things that I think you rip away on with this team, that they're not over they're not overwhelming anybody with their skill, and they rely a lot on Freddie Anderson. Although, to be fair to Michael Hutchison, he has played in the second half of back-to-backs.
Yeah, we'll probably see him Sunday in Chicago as well. So, right. Mike, get ready.
He hasn't had a lot of shots.
Get ready, Mike.
But how, even with Tavares out, do you go through a 2-for-32 drought before Austin Matthews scores the game-tying goal?
That's the one thing. Whether you're hard on the Leafs or not hard on the Leafs, that number no one can really explain, right?
21st in the league in power play percentage.
This was a power play, again, that was 8th in the National Hockey League a year ago.
Correct.
So there was pedigree there, obviously, that at some point they knew what they were doing, yet at some point they've kind of lost. Like, is this a Jake Gardner discussion? Everyone likes to rip Jake Gardner in this city, and I had to go too.
And Tyson Barrie was supposed to replace Jake Gardner on that power play.
And there have been some bumps in the road on that. Now, Barrie's on the second unit. He's not playing with the top guys. But listen, it's 5-on-4. You're a talented hockey player. You should probably take advantage of times. I think we can agree on that.
Talented hockey players.
Players. But if that doesn't get cleaned up, Tim, they're in trouble. Like, you have to take advantage. If you're not going to, you have to score.
I'm suggesting to you that they'll probably find it. And I think that Tavares, given the spot that he plays on that power play, is a big part of that. And last night they were 1-for-6. Vegas is one of, if not the best, penalty kill team in the league. And in fact, I think going into last night, they were -1 on their penalty kill. They had scored just one less goal than they had allowed on their power play. And what are we, 17 games into the season?
Something like that, yeah.
Like, that's unbelievable. They are 17 games into the season. I shouldn't have doubted myself. I looked it up on the computer.
Why do you always do that?
I don't know. Why do you always do that? I like to feel the need to be correct. But did you notice on the Matthews goal, which was important because, one, snapped a drought in the power play, and two, tied the hockey game up.
Hold on. Before you continue, did it really snap a drought on that power play? Is that power play out of the drought because he scored one goal?
Well, it was 2-for-32, so it's no longer.
So it's now 3-for-33, so they're out of the slump?
I didn't say that.
No. I'm just asking out loud. Are they out of the slump because Austin Matthews had one shot?
They are 1-for-1 in their last one.
Shut up.
Okay. But did
it
you
is,
notice?
It is proper math.
Did you notice what Cody Eakin, who is one of the best penalty killers on that team, did you notice what he was doing on the game tying goal? And this might only interest me, but it was weird because I think it was Theodore, it was a defenseman dropping their stick on the power play, and Eakin, as a forward, ends up handing his stick to the defenseman, which means he can no longer pick up the defenseman's stick. This is one of those new rules in the NHL. He decides, they call this in basketball face guarding. He just squares up Mitch Marner and doesn't allow him to get the puck in any way, shape, or form. And he goes away from it for a second, but he goes straight back to it. And because of it, Sid, Austin Matthews got those three shots from that spot that Austin Matthews loves to get those three shots from. I don't know if I've ever seen this from not just a penalty killer, but a really good penalty killer. And in the middle of it, Marner does a great thing where he backs up into the stick and just moves it out of the way. It's such a smart move.
Yeah, but he accidentally on purpose moved the stick.
He just told him, hey, stay on that side because this guy's just guarding me.
Right.
And Matthews scores the game. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No. But, like, if you're going to let that happen, because the Leafs are just working it around, why don't you just go to the bench, say to hell with it, and get
a stick? If you're Cody Eakin, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you're Cody Eakin, the more I see that, that's really cool.
Or just kick the stick back to the defenseman.
You could.
And then say, give me my stick back.
Like, you're just standing there like you're guarding a shooting guard.
That's what it would look like.
And it's Mitch Marner. Probably isn't going to work.
Like ball denial in basketball.
Like, there could have been a different approach on that. I thought
not
that was
ball denial in anything else.
No, not ball denial.
Just basketball.
Just basketball. Just basketball. All right, so how did you start that? You said, maybe this is cool just for me. What was the line you had?
Yeah, I
noticed a segment there. I like the idea. Maybe it's just me,
it'll be a lot of great punts.
it's our show. We can do what we want.
Yeah,
it's
I fun. Find punting.
Okay, maybe this was cool. Can I play? I like
sure.
It. Maybe this was just cool for me.
Yeah.
But Joe Bowen last night on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Jim Ralph next to him, in OT, Marner to Tavares. Joe Bowen is as voice of the Leafs, is such an electric personality.
Okay.
Such a handsome man. that we need a camera on him 24/7 in the gondola as he calls Leaf games. Did you see how it finished last night? Did you hear how it finished
last night? I heard how it finished last night.
All right, for both of our audiences, let's run it back.
Carlson takes the pass on the left wing, gets into the Leaf end, puts the brakes on, trying to slide it around, lost the puck. Marner starting back with Tavares against Carlson. Marner closing in to Tavares. Scores! Holy mackerel! Some magic from the magician! And Tavares finishes!
There's a jig there at the end for those listening on radio.
He did a jig to Hall & Oates.
The second Hall & Oates, the track dropped. Joe Bowen gives it the Bonesy. I don't know what you call the dance. I don't know what you call the jig. I mean, he's a fan of Notre Dame. Maybe a little Irish jig. I don't know. But
cut or uncut, the Leafs goal song being for the second straight year.
Hall & Oates. What
Hall
I want.
Hall & Oates.
Well, I'll give you... Can I answer that question, whether it's cut or uncut, if I see and hear Joe Bowen dancing to that song on a loop? Do we have that, guys? Okay, please run that.
What I want.
What a perfect time for the curling audience to join us across the nation on Sportsnet.
You want to explain what's going on here, Tim?
This is Joe Bowen dancing to the Leafs goal song after calling John Tavares game winner in overtime last night, all while Jim Ralph looks on relatively unamused.
Yeah, you know what? It's completely cut, Tim.
So the Leafs get the win. Habs and Canucks drop a pair of games in a pair of different ways.
Yeah.
Which one hurt more to those two teams?
I mean, I want to say the Canucks. Like Carey Price was unbelievable last night.
Yeah, they had no business getting a point.
Nothing.
He got him a point. I mean, it was a bad OT goal, but when you make 40 saves
and stop the penalty shot
in regulation, you let it go.
So I'm going to say the Canucks. The Canucks went in there. Travis Green was not kind to his team after that game last night, and deservedly so. We talked yesterday about, look, I mean, you go first place if you're the Vancouver Canucks here. You go in there and
felt like an opportunity.
A huge opportunity, Tim. I completely agree with you. You go in there, you're flat. I know that the Blackhawks aren't what they used to be, but I don't care, man. You have history with this team. This is a rivalry. And you go in there with a chance to go first, and you lay a massive, massive egg. I understand there are large portions of this team in important spots that are very young. I was really, really disappointed to see that effort out of Vancouver, as was their head coach, Travis Green. C'est la vie. On to the next one.
No, it's a teaching point.
You think it's a teaching point?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You could have silenced the Fratellis, speaking of goal songs. Da, 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 da. Instead, all you heard was... The Blackhawks fans going bananas time after time because they love beating the Canucks.
Absolutely.
And I think that Travis Green's got to stop for a second. I know they play back-to-backs and say, that can't happen. You guys had an opportunity. If we want to be good, those are games that you got to win. I know it was on the road. I know it's a tough place to play, but that's a game that you want to win. And I know it was only their first regulation loss in 9 games, so you should give them leeway. But if you want to be good, these are the things that you got to do. And it'll happen. These games, these losses will happen. I'm just saying, if you're Travis Green, you hammer that home and make sure that that doesn't happen as much as it's happened in, I don't know, the last decade in Vancouver.
Vancouver tonight are taking on the Winnipeg Jets.
Oh,
the Jets have their own situation.
What did the Jets do to the hockey gods?
I don't know.
Because it's getting ridiculous now.
I mean, Brian Little, again, with the rupture inside his ear and dealing with some vertigo. Blake Wheeler will be at center tonight to start the game.
You're intrigued by that.
Look, Blake, the story in Winnipeg that's kind of been overshadowed because there's been so much other stuff going on. I'll make this quick because we've got
to
move on.
Yeah, I want to get to the Kawhi Leonard.
Blake Wheeler is statistically having his worst year in 9 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That is a shocking start to the year for Blake Wheeler, both in his own end and at the other end. Him and Scheifele have not been in sync. I don't know what's going on there, but two guys who have played some exquisite hockey together have not been feeling good. And the only positive I see here, Tim, because Brian Little's not going to be around for a while, I think this is the change Paul Maurice has kind of been internally dying to make.
Yeah.
Because Wheeler's got to get going. If your captain is going to be playing like this, you're sunk. I don't care what your blue line looks like, what your goaltending looks like. Wheeler's got to get going. So I think there's a chance here to maybe get him going. I'm really intrigued to see if it works starting tonight against Vancouver.
Laine could get going too, and I know he's had a pretty good year, but now you need goal scoring. And I never thought I would say that about the Canucks. Or excuse me, the Jets. It's Friday. I'm tired. I'm sorry. The Jets this year. You know where they rank in goal scoring this year? 25th. In the National Hockey League, like, are they trying to cover for this blue line that they know has been absolutely decimated?
Maybe.
And that's why some of the guys who you normally see snipe after snipe and goal after goal go in the net? Is that what's happening in Winnipeg right now? Because they need to score goals.
Billy Heinola, by the way, heading back to Finland for the year.
Right.
Heading back overseas. It's the best thing for him. I think it's a good move.
Yeah.
But that blue line is thin, man. Absolutely.
Okay.
Switching gears, Timmy. NBA last night, Clippers played host to the Blazers in L.A. Kawhi Leonard played. He had 18 of his game high, 27 in the fourth. Struggled for most of the night, but then he went off. Clippers win. All the talk post-game, however, centered around the Clippers' $50,000 fine and the NBA revealing the details of Kawhi's injury, something that didn't sit well with the reigning finals MVP.
It was shocking, but it doesn't matter to me. You know what I mean? I'm not a guy that reads the media anyway. You know, we're going to manage it the best way we can to keep me healthy. That's just disappointing, you know, that it feels like they want, you know, players to play if they're not ready.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of different ways to go here. Should we start with the fact that, and I read it on air, talked about the patella tendon and didn't stop until I heard others say, oh my God, they revealed the actual injury to Kawhi. Is basketball a different game than hockey or football and you can't go out and target a guy's knee, or if you know now his weakness or where it was or where it is, could that be part of the equation here?
I just think the NBA is defending itself.
It is defending itself.
Like, that's the only thing I took from that, and I was shocked to see it because the man we just heard from, Kawhi Leonard, felt a little betrayed in that clip.
But we know why they're defending themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
No, I'm not saying if I'm them, I wouldn't.
Because everyone's lying through their teeth.
Yeah, but why now? But my question to that is, why
they,
now?
Because they changed a rule on load management to satisfy their partners, maybe even just to pacify their partners, because the fine is only $100,000.
Right, but to unveil what he was dealing with is you can't put a price on that. And no. ESPN and ABC paying $9 billion for the TV contract are screaming bloody murder for the last 48 hours on this.
Correct.
So the NBA felt like they couldn't just let them get away. $50,000 is a joke. So what else are you going to do?
So is $100,000. So why not just pay? If you're the Clippers, and listen, I think we're talking about two different things, but if you want to have load management for Kawhi Leonard, why not just pay the $100,000 and stop asking your head coach to lie or your star player to lie?
I mean, yeah, like Doc Rivers said, you know, he's never been better. Like, I mean, if he doesn't say that, there's no issue here.
Right.
I believe.
Doc Rivers ended up saying at the end, I'm not going to talk.
Yeah, so now he's just going to not just shut up on it going forward. So I don't know what that's going to do. Look, the NBA can't do anything here to make him play. But the one avenue they decided to take, I'm stunned with, in revealing what the guy was dealing with. And we all know what trust means to Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm the league, I need to be a little careful here. Because this is your face. This is probably the best player in the world right now.
I wondered even if Kawhi Leonard could sue them if anything ever happened to the knee.
I've heard crazier things, man. Like, this is not something he wanted out there. And I'm not ripping any NBA player for hiding an injury. NHL does it all the time. We seem to think it's fine there. So, I mean, if Kawhi Leonard has lost a bit of trust here with the league, I completely understand it. I'm very surprised the league decided to go this route. I'm really surprised.
That doesn't bug me as much as, like, let's be honest here. This only affects the big stars in the league. And the only players that anyone would care about are the ones who make the most money.
Right.
Make, like, $30 million a season.
The ones people want to see.
So
that's it.
Kawhi is guaranteed $103 million in Los Angeles. It could have been more if he was worried. If he was truly worried about what the knee would look like in the future,
he could have signed a max deal with the Raptors that would have paid him $190 million in Toronto. Hell, he could have signed a supermax in San Antonio for $221 million. Then he wouldn't have to worry about the knee. Like, imagine what NFL running backs, a guy like Melvin Gordon, who's sitting out for what, $30 million guaranteed maybe? What did Lev Bell get, $40 million guaranteed?
Something like that, yeah.
Set out an entire year hoping to get $40 million guaranteed. This guy's got 103, and he doesn't want to play back-to-backs in basketball.
Right.
Right? Like, there's a level here. I don't want to see the athlete exploited. I don't want to see a guy play hurt and hurt himself even more, and then we're robbed from that guy for a year like we are with Kevin Durant. But if they're just lying through their teeth and saying, we don't want to play this guy, man, you're making $100 million. That doesn't go away at any time.
Right.
You might be able to play one or two back-to-backs.
And by the way, gambling's legal now.
All right, time for a break. When we come back, Nate Burleson is going to join us here on the store, on the show. Also, the best of the week is up next. We've got a few good candidates that you're going to want to stick around for. Tim and Sid on TV and radio.
Subscribe to the Leafs Hour podcast with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Best of the week, brought to you by the Kraken Black Spiced Rum. An epic tale awaits. We've got the nominees. Some random funny stuff to us throughout the week. Go to sportsnet.ca/vote. We'll announce the winner later in the show. Tim McAuliffe is nominee number one.
This was the star of our show yesterday, but without further ado, it becomes the number one nominee in this edition of the Best of the Week. Leafs head coach Mike Babcock discussing Italian sausage.
Why'd you say it like that?
You ever been to the TFC game and had an Italian sausage there? They're unfriggin' believable. Unbelievable. What's going on?
Better than the kale salad?
I don't mind a kale salad either, but I mean, those Italian dogs there, the energy of the people around that spot, unbelievable.
The best part is, what's going on? What's going on? Love Italian sausage.
Well, he's just talking. He just wanted to tell people about how much he loves the Italian sausage.
That's going to win. I don't know why we got to go through the rest.
I don't know if it's going to win.
A black cat showed up on Monday Night Football. Everyone lost their mind, including Kevin Harlan on Westwood One Radio with a great call.
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look, they're trying to corner him, and they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands, and the fans are running for their life. Now it goes back on the field again, and it's running in the back of the end zone, and it runs up the tunnel.
I thought there was a Michael Vick line to be had there, but
there was.
Running up
there
the tunnel.
Yep.
A fellow by the name of Blaine Stewart, third nominee, is an anchor at News Channel 3 in Hamptons Roads, Virginia, or just Hampton Roads, New Virginia. He tweeted a video with the caption, "A reminder to never do this." Well, what could he have possibly done to tweet out a reminder to never do this?
Out the pumpkin, I thought it smells.
I thought something was smoking. I do see the smoke coming up. What happened just now?
Well, no, because it's resting on some paper, and so I didn't want the little tea light to overheat, and then all of a sudden we've got breaking news here at the channel.
I told you, if the sprinkler system's come on, I'm done for the day.
Yeah, that is not
sitting up here looking like
not
a mop.
Yeah, you don't want sprinkler system and a beautiful weave, because they do not go together. Wow, you're beautiful. You said it was a weave, right?
It's not.
Oh, no.
No, never accuse your co-host of having a weave.
Like, I would never do that to you.
Which is not one of Sid Sixero's problems.
I wouldn't.
Unless he has a co-host.
But my guy was bald. He's accusing anyone of having a weave. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, what?
It's like a fat guy going, hey, easy on the muffin. Like, what are you doing? Don't do that.
I don't know.
Unbelievable. Sorry, that might win. Take it back on the Mike Babcock.
And the best part is, like, if you have the weave and you, all right, yeah, I got a weave. She's like, I don't have a weave.
This is not a weave.
This is real.
This is not a weave. This is a nominee. Joe Thomas, former offensive lineman with the Browns, 10-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, he was just every year he played in the league, he was in the Pro Bowl.
Joe Thomas, he was very good at being an offensive lineman. He's not good at words. This is what he said yesterday in the lead up to the Thursday Nighter on NFL Network.
I thought it was pretty good.
Do you think that they're in a position right now to go on a playoff run with the team that they have?
You know, Colleen, I'm no cucumber scientist, but the loser of tonight's game is in a pickle because this is a loser leave town game right here.
Cucumber scientist, Tim.
I'm no cute, but the pickle on the end.
It's cute.
You have to add the pickle.
I'm no zucchini biologist.
However, you got to add to the end.
It's a dad joke.
All right. Lastly, a New York legend, Mike Francesa, is leaving the afternoon drive at the end of the year. But I'm going to play a clip. Mm-hmm. And I just want, did you notice anything during this clip? Okay. This is a short clip. Mike Francesa, New York legend, talk radio. He is one of the old guard. The baby boomers are lamenting the fact that their guys are leaving the air. Mike Francesa is one of the last remaining pieces of the legendary sports talk radio era.
Okay.
Tell me if you hear anything from Francesa during this segment of his show in New York City.
I understand how much work they put into this, especially NFL head coaches. But when you cannot function, when you're not functioning as a franchise.
Wait a second.
Okay. Did you hear anything?
I heard something. It sounded like...
Near the end there?
It sounded like something I'm very familiar with.
Okay.
I got to hear it again.
Okay, let's play it again. Let's listen.
When you cannot function. When you cannot function. When you cannot function.
There's something functioning.
When you cannot function.
Is that the chair?
It's either his chair, sleeve on the table,
right,
or Mike Francesa...
Is taking laxatives.
Had extra eggs in the morning.
You cannot function. When you cannot function.
Wow.
When you cannot function. When you cannot function.
Well, he dumped on his coworkers for years. It's a fitting way to go out. Sportsnet.ca/vote. Let us know. Best of the week. The results coming up a little later on.
Nate Burleson next right here on Tim and Sid. Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet TV and Radio.
Sometimes you gotta...
Missed an episode of Good Show? Listen to every episode and subscribe with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on Demand.
It's time for real sports talk with Tim McCallum and Sid Sexsero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. Tim and Sid back for another 30 minutes on TV, full hour on radio. Hockey Central, Carolyn Cameron, Jason York coming up at 6:30 Eastern on Sportsnet. We have breaking news surrounding the NCAA and the projected number one overall pick that'll go in that radio half hour, as well as a conversation with James Sharman on TFC Seattle for the MLS Cup.
69,000 in Seattle tomorrow, or Sunday, pardon me. It's going to be amazing. We begin this hour with football in the lineup brought to you by Harvey's. Harvey's makes your hamburger a beautiful thing. And there are some big names returning to action this week in the National Football League. We begin with the biggest. Reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid said today he will start Sunday against the Titans, quote, unless something changes, end quote. If Mahomes does play, he'll have missed just 2 weeks after suffering a dislocated kneecap.
Crazy.
Meanwhile, a week after getting Drew Brees back, the Saints' Alvin Kamara will return against the Falcons. Speaking of Atlanta, Matt Ryan will also be back Sunday after missing one game with a sprained ankle. Colts announced today Jacoby Brissett will be a game-time decision against the Dolphins. Timmy, a lot going on.
Yeah, here's a look at some of the notable matchups for Week 10 in the National Football League. Chiefs and Titans is Patrick Mahomes' return. There are a couple of great primetime games. 6-3 Vikings visit the 5-3 Cowboys on Sunday night. And then the NFL's last undefeated team, the San Francisco 49ers, will host Russell Wilson and the 7-2 Seahawks in the Monday Nighter.
This is where the season gets good. right?
Of course it is.
You got some injury stories, some massive ones. The matchups are getting interesting. We're looking
halfway
at wild
point.
Cards. We're looking at divisions.
Good.
Nate Burleson of NFL Network and CBS Sports is joining us. Nate, how you doing, man? How are things?
I'm good. So I'm going to put the pressure on you guys because you guys are my brothers, and I love you to death, like, for real. Like, in my life, it's like Tim and Sid and the kids, but right now it's like Tim and Sid and Nate. So let's just talk telepathically.
Here's the thing.
Okay. What is about to happen here?
I'm feeling good, and I'm properly hydrated. I'm going to put the pressure on you guys to, like, really ask me some questions that are the real deal. So let's get to this, man. Come on. Let's go.
Can we start where we were going to finish then, Six-Zero?
Yeah,
oh, you want a real? So Nate wants a real deal question.
Real talk.
All right. Go ahead, Timmy. Let's fire at him. We were talking about earlier.
I wanted to get your opinion on something that we were talking about outside of football. So as we go real deal, Nate, we're going outside of football. We were talking about Kawhi Leonard, and I brought up football in the conversation, and I think you have a great perspective on this because Kawhi Leonard is guaranteed $103 million on his current contract and wants to sit out the back half of back-to-backs. Given our conversation about the injuries you suffered as a player and how you found out about a bunch of those injuries after you were done playing football, I'm really curious what you think about, or what maybe Melvin Gordon would think about, or any other football player would think about, $103 million guaranteed and going through a second season of what we're calling load management.
I wish I can curse right now, and this isn't me being a product of my environment or me being a company guy or me turning my back on my fraternity brothers, because when you play in the league, you ride for the individual that play the game. So I guess the standard answer would be, yeah, take your time, make the money. But I'm cut from a different cloth, and I come from the old school, and I feel like if you're getting paid a handful of dollars, I don't care if you handed me $100 to play 100 games, I'm going to give you a dollar's worth for every game, and I'm going to go out there and do my thing. I saw that Jordan came out and said, you get paid to play 82 games. Mm-hmm. And that's right. That's the game that I watch. That's the game that I respect. I'm a huge Kawhi Leonard fan, man. Like, I was the one that was standing on the rooftop saying he got to be out of his mind to leave Toronto because you got the Kawhi and Dime, you got the private jets, you got the top floor suite. Like, he would be the only dude in sports outside of Tom Brady that literally is the king of his city. But he made his own decision to leave Toronto and go to L.A. But that's besides the point. When it comes to playing, though,
yeah, he's real. We can all agree he is maybe top three, maybe top one. He's a great player.
I'll say he's the best player in the game.
All right.
But what I will say is, though, when you're making money, forget about the max contract or the $100 million or whatever these NBA dudes is making. And mind you, you're talking to an NBA guy. Like, but people don't know, I watch more NBA than I watch NFL, which is crazy. I talk NFL every day. But you get paid to play the game, man. Like, come on. Like, don't give me that load management. Don't give me that, like, I'm going to take a rest. Like, the whole point of seeing what you made of is seeing what you made of when your body's hurting. Like, the reason why week 15, 16, first week of playoffs, going into the Super Bowl, the reason why it's interesting because we all know everybody's hurting. So what does that mean? That means that, like, the playing field is even when it comes to the physicality. Now, what has to separate, you know what I'm saying, the regular, you know, athletic peasants to the athletic royalty? And that's the ones that can, like, separate their mind from their body and go all the way in. So I don't know. That frustrates me, man. And it upsets me. And it's because maybe it's because we play 16 games and we don't have time to, like, take a break. When I took a break, that means something was broken. Do you hear me? Like, I know the people that the faithful Tim and Sid listeners, and I don't know if we got a nickname for them, by the way.
Tim and Citizens. Tim and Citizens.
Tim and Citizens. All right. I want something different. I don't like that.
All right, fine. We'll work on it.
But I was listening to the Tim and Citizens after my last hit, and they were appreciative of the fact that I was being honest. So here's to the Tim and Citizens. when I took a check, I gave you everything I got, man. Like, I was going to tear a ligament, break a bone. Like, I would rather you carry me off the field, look me in my eyes, and tell me that I can't go no more than to look you in your eye and tell you that I'm not going to give you your money's worth on a given day because of load management. So this isn't my rant on the NBA. Like, I'm an NBA dude.
Yeah.
Like, I rocks. My brother coaches for the Minnesota Timberwolves, Kevin Burleson. Look him up. He looks like my fake twin. All I'm saying is, when it comes to getting paid for a job, do your damn job, man. Like, and if you're tired, we pay to see you being tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why, like, that's why Tom Brady is the GOAT. It's week 11, 12, 13, and Tom Brady at 42 years old is out there throwing darts. This is a grown man that's supposed to be retired with his feet up, sipping tea with his little kids. Like, so I don't know, the NBA bugs me out. And I respect Popovich, and he kind of started this whole load management with the Spurs, and then, you know, Kerr did it with the Warriors. And now everybody's doing it because they're like, let's save our guys for the latter end of the season. All I'm saying is,
and to give context,
I know you want to talk, and I know I'm rambling.
No.
I apologize. The reason why LeBron is the GOAT, and we're all from the same era, like me and my three amigos. The reason why he's the GOAT is because he never complained. Dude would play as many games as he could. Shooting percentage is high. His assists are high. Rebounds are high. He's a leader. He's a monster. And he gets busy. There's not a lot of dudes that kind of sign on to that narrative. So, like, all I'm asking, long story short, bro, sign on to the narrative to earn the money that you get paid. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, no other job could take a break. Like, if you're working for corporate downtown and you're trying to kill the stock market, or you're a teacher, or you're a politician, like, you can't say, hey, you know what, today, I think I'm going to take some load management time today. You know, it doesn't work in any other field of life. You know what I'm saying?
I just wanted to give the context that you were vexed when you found out what was wrong with your body at the end of the career. And I find that context of you knowing that you had broken bones that you didn't know you broke while playing and still had this opinion alters, if you didn't see what we were talking about last week.
Go back and watch it.
It was really good.
Because Nate was incredible.
But I think that adds a layer of context to what you're saying. Like, you're all for the athlete being, represented in the right way and knowing everything that goes on with their body, yet at the same time, they're saying what you're saying.
Bro, I'm going to just tell you this, man. Like, we signed up for a job that not many people can actually apply for, let alone fulfill, with their athletic ability. When I signed that contract to get paid $700,000, Seattle contract, $4 million, my Detroit contract, $25 million. Like,
shut up.
I signed on. Detroit. I signed on to give you everything that I got. Like, I was going to sacrifice myself so you could be happy. Because here's the thing. Like, I know this sounds crazy, and I'm not fronting on any NFL player. Like, we're in a fraternity. Like, I ride with those guys more than I ride for any hot take that I give on TV. But me, I signed on so the fan would know, like, damn, we're paying this dude millions. But what I do know about Nate is he's willing to give himself up for those millions. Like, how do you rationalize? I don't care what it is, bro. Like, if I was the best player in the world and you give me $40 million, there's no way for you to rationalize that I'm worth that. Even if I was the greatest. Tom Brady's not even worth $40 million. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, none of these dudes, they're not worth it. So the fact that they can give you that feeling that they're worth it, that's what makes it all good. So when Russell Wilson goes out there and he's limping around throwing dimes and he's the league leader in the MVP race, it makes it worth it. You know what I'm saying? When Aaron Rodgers signs that contract and he's throwing darts, like threatening needle, that makes it worth it. Like, the whole point of me signing the contract, and I wasn't even on their level, is so when a fan looks at me, they're like, yo, at the very least, I know Nate is about to give it everything he got. And I did that. So Like, what would you think if you paid? I know we don't have a lot of time. So one time we were going to a concert. It's myself, Calvin Johnson, Dominic Riola, who was our center, and a bunch of skilled players that play for the Detroit Lions. We were going to a Drake concert in Detroit. We're sitting there at an Italian restaurant, and I apologize if you heard this before. And a guy walked up to our table and he said, "Hey, man, I love you guys. This year seems different. You guys have given me pride and hope like I've never felt before. I don't have a lot of money, but the money I do have, I spend it on the nosebleed so I can watch you play. And the reason I'm coming up to you guys is because you guys play like you actually love us." And I stopped him and I was like, "Yo, we love you, bro. Like, this is it. Like, we're different. This isn't the old Detroit teams. Like, we're different." So we hugged and kissed and high-fived. He walked off. Our waitress came over and I said, "Hey, yo, the chef that came over, yo, he's a nice guy." She's like, "The chef?" I'm like, "Yeah, the black dude with the bald head. He just came over. The guy that came and talked to us." She's like, "That's not the chef." I'm like, "No, the dude that just came over, he came and talked." She's like, "That's not the chef. He's the dude that sweeps up the kitchen. He's a custodian." So now, like, there's this moment. I'm talking about heavy spirits. Boom. Like, you could literally hit our hearts, hit the table. And it was crazy because only thing we were all thinking the same thing. He said, "No matter how much money I make, I'm going to buy tickets and I'm going to support you." So I took off my hat and I put it in the middle of the table. I put some money in. I said, "Look, I'm not trying to have no Oprah moment or me trying to, like, I'm about to put some money in this hat and I'm going to send it downstairs. Y'all can do whatever you want." We all put money in a hat. That's besides the point. The fact is, that was the realest moment I ever had in Detroit. Because for me, in that moment, I realized a dude that's literally sweeping crumbs off the ground and is making crumbs financially is sitting in the nosebleeds every Sunday watching us. Like, who am I to, like, fake an injury or prolong an injury or exaggerate an injury? So, like, when I hear load management or, like, it bugs me out because I know dollars seem insignificant when you hit the upper echelon, but I remember that following week and I was talking to my team before the game and Dominic Riola, our center, looked at me. He was like, "Yo, Nate, I need that, like, Super Bowl speech." I'm like, "Dom, it's the middle of the season, bro." Like, he's like, "No, and I was like, "Well, I'm gonna speak from my heart." Like, and I usually take whatever happened in my life and I would apply it to the game. I looked at my teammates and I said, "Yo, for the next 60 minutes, we can change the next 7 days for everybody in Detroit. The city is bankrupt." Like, you can fill in the words. I was like, "We're bankrupt, bro." So, like, if you feel like you want to quit, if you feel like you're hurting, if you feel like you're injured, like, just think about the person that don't have enough money to put food on the table, but they're in the stands. Like, that's as real as it gets. So, I don't know. I just feel like, like, let's just keep it real, bro. Like, baseball, football, basketball, we're all overpaid. We are all overpaid. Forget the jersey sales, shoe sales, all that. Like, we're all overpaid. And we're blessed. And the organizations get money in return. They sell our likeness, our jerseys, our shoes, all that, the images, all that. We're all overpaid, though. Like, we're getting paid millions and millions of dollars to play a game. At the very least, show up and give the people what they want. So if you're telling me low management is a thing, I'm going to tell you, excuse my language, kiss my ass.
I was going to have some points. and none of them seem relevant after that story, Nate, honestly. Like, that's real. Like, that's a dude.
Was that a real enough question for you?
Like,
That was real. That was real talk, bro.
No, but, like, that's, like, honestly, I was going to come on.
Should rename the show Real Talk.
No, seriously. Nate. But I was going to say, look, I think the NFL world that you lived in and still kind of live in, and the world that Kawhi lives in, it's not the same world in a way. Every game Nate went out there and played with that fan in the stands who probably couldn't afford to be there in the first place. And the NFL is life and death every week. A win in the National Football League means way more than a win in any other professional league in North America. And Kawhi's legacy, considering he thought his career was done. I do understand to a certain extent where he's coming from, because legacies in the NBA are built differently. He made his legacy last year, and it had nothing to do with playing in the regular season. Because the Raptors went 17-5 without him.
I just feel like it's easier to lose touch with reality. And what Nate got was the dose of reality from a dude at a restaurant.
Absolutely.
Hey, but here's the thing, though. This not even a shot at Kawhi. This ain't even on him. Like, if I'm a team that just signed Kawhi to $100+ million, I'm going to hit him with the load management. I'm like, yo, Kawhi, bro, like, chill out, relax.
Yeah.
Coast through the first 30 games. I want you to be good for the latter part of the season and the postseason. So this isn't Kawhi. It's just more like, bro, like, I feel bad. I feel bad for the fan that shows up. Not the fan that scalped tickets on the outside or the fans that got tickets in a company raffle. I feel bad for the fan that bought season tickets in hopes that, like, they were going to see greatness every time they set their butt down in them seats. So, like, This isn't a shot at anybody. It's just like, let's just keep it real, man. Like,
yeah,
we get paid a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? Like, we get paid a lot of money. Like, at the very least, exhaust yourself trying to entertain the masses, even if it makes you feel like a I hate to say it, but a circus animal. Like, we get paid. Like, if the I don't know, bro. I don't know. I just want people to get their money's worth,
right?
Because I know how much they pay to see greatness on a daily basis.
Yeah, I said that the fan is underrepresented sometimes in these conversations.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Nate, this was, again, man, this is, I really
enjoyed
this.
No, don't tell me it's over, bro. You got to ask me a football question about the season.
We got Seahawks, Niners, Vikings, Cowboys. There's some good games.
I mean, okay, how about this? Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott basically have the same stats in their career. Why do you trust one way more than the other?
I trust Dak Prescott because he hasn't got paid. Kirk has he hit the Washington Redskins for $50 million, and then he signed with the Minnesota Vikings for 3 years, $90 million guaranteed. Like, he's established. So what are we expecting? If you're making $30+ million in the NFL, what are we talking about? We just talked about this, bro. You're making $30+ million as a quarterback. Like, we should be able to criticize you. And I love Kirk Cousins. I will see him in his face, hug him, give him a kiss, tell him, bro, you're the man. But, like, I'm also going to challenge you and expect greatness. You know what I'm saying? So when you miss, he can throw for 400 yards, four TDs, and miss five passes. You know what I'm going to criticize him on? Those five passes. Because the league leader in the MVP race is Russell Wilson. When it's five passes that will determine the game, Russell Wilson's going to hit those five passes. So I feel like right now, even though Dak is younger in his career, he has proven more clutch moments than Kirk. So let's see. This is the deciding moment. There's one question that will, like, label this game. Is he worth the money? Rumor is Dak is asking for 35 plus. Is he worth the money? We know what Kirk is making. Is he worth the money? So let's see who's worth the money.
Dirk's not making it anymore because he retired, but he got a chip. He got a chip. Nate Burleson, Good Morning Football, Extra, CBS Sports, NBA analyst, ESPN,
hey,
the Ocho's coverage of lawnmower racing.
This is true. I'm coming out there to Toronto soon. Like, I would say in the next month I'll be in Toronto.
I think he's got to do the whole show with us. I think he's got
to
do
hockey. Yeah, Nate, we have gotten to the point where
we'll turn him into Chance the Rapper.
These 20 minutes isn't enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
So honestly.
How long is the show, an hour?
We go 2 hours. I don't know where on TV they put us anymore, if I'm being honest.
I do 3 hours every morning, man. Like,
see, you know what? I'm not giving the viewer what they want, is what you're telling me, Nate. That's the message at the end of the
day. You are paid.
Hey, listen, my word to you guys, because you guys are my brother, and hold me to this.
Okay.
My word to you guys is, I'm going to do the whole 2 hours with you. As long as you give me carte blanche on the greatest sports plays in Canadian history, and that covers all sports, everything. I get to do the top 10 countdown. We all collectively, you do the Twitter poll, and then you guys act. Let me do the top 10 plays.
Nice.
All right, we don't have to produce that show.
Score 64 all over again. D-U-N, done.
Just drop.
Love you guys. Hey, Tim. Hey, let me say this. And I'm gonna leave you guys alone. Tim and Sid is the best show on earth. Real talk. That's real talk.
There's another one.
You guys are the greatest, bro. I love y'all.
Love you, brother.
All right.
There is Nate Burleson. And I knew I liked him. There's a reason why I knew
him,
I liked
him. Him saying we have the best show has nothing to do with it.
Oh, no. It's just, he was really good. Again, that's why.
Nate's the king, man.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Tim, I have been told this best of the week vote is one of the closest we've ever had. And it came down between the Black Cat at the Meadowlands on Monday night during Monday Night Football and Mike Babcock's affinity for the Italian sausage at BMO by 3 percentage points. The Black Cat called by Kevin Harlan on Westward One Radio.
Right between the eyes.
A huge... Oh, well, the vote is changing. As we, are we locking in the vote or is it still going on?
1%. Lock it
it's
in.
One, okay, lock it in. Let's run the cat.
He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper.
I mean, it was a cat. I'm a cat person, too.
The cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
But I'm very surprised.
I feel like Harlan was better on the drunk guy in the field.
Oh,
but whatever.
Not even close. Of course he was better. The drunk guy on the field.
But people love this.
And the guy in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands.
Did I get shushed for a catch? Did you just shush me for a cat?
I can't believe I shushed you on your own show.
That was a shocking shush. I'm being shocked left and right here. This average clip just won best of the week. I'm disappointed. I think we're better than that as a show.
Maybe Nate Burleson could have been nominated for best of the week.
Best of the week was Nate.
Brock writes in and says, if ever pro athletes or ex-pro athletes had an ounce of compassion and understanding about the game that they play and why they play it and who they play it for, like Nate Burleson does, pro sports would be a much nicer place. Amazing story on Tim and Sid. Gary wrote in and said, I need to tell you guys, the last two segments with Nate Burleson have been really thought-provoking and educational. Thanks, Nate, for being real with us. Great to have an athlete pull back the curtain. It's nice when people make you think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Tim Chan wrote in and said, wow, Nate Burleson was way too real just now on Tim and Sid about load management. Feel hyped after two. Nate got to be a motivational speaker. LOL, hashtag Tim and Sid. And just to prove that you cannot please everybody, No Regrets wrote in and said, Nate rambling on too long. You need to tell him next time before he comes on. I've just proved you can't
give me a break.
You can't prove.
Give me a break.
Can't please everybody, 6-0. I thought that was awesome, and yet there is still someone who doesn't like it.
I think in a moment like this, where Nate clearly was amazing in the segment, speaking his truth,
yes,
and showing and bringing us into his world a little bit, a window into his soul. When there's one person out there ripping that, they're called a douchebag.
We should have a button. You have a douchebag button.
What would that be? That's a great point, but like, what would it be?
You could just keep talking if you want.
There it is. That's the button.
Black Cat. We got a Black Cat clip coming.
It's you.
Black Cat. See, that's not a good
meme. Yeah, it's a great douchebag.
No, it's not a good
meme.
It's not a good douchebag button.
No, I mean, that's the button. Stop and listen.
It's just me doing
you
that?
You doing that
I know what
is
you're
the
saying,
button.
Yes, and I disagree vehemently with that.
CFL playoffs this weekend. Eskimos at Alouettes as they cross over. Bombers at Stamps. Reported forecast in Calgary for that game, minus 13. Which might give the Bombers a shot here on enemy ground.
One of my guilty pleasures in life in sports is watching a CFL playoff game played in horrific conditions while I'm on a couch with a blanket and a warm cup of cocoa.
And a little snow always helps.
It's awesome. It's great TV.
Whenever I did football play-by-play, I swear to God, the numbers went up when it was snowing.
Really?
People love watching football in the snow. There's something nostalgic about it. You might get it. Bombers, Stamps, Eskimos, Alouettes. I got the Owls, and I'm going to take the Bombers because I think they can run the ball, and if it gets messy, Streveler in there, I know they might split duties, but Andrew Harris, Streveler, I like it.
Still like Hamilton to win the whole thing.
And U Sports playoffs, Yates Cup, Hardy Cup, Loney Bowl, Dunsmore Cup go this weekend, semifinals in a week from now. We'll spend some time doing that in a little bit, okay?
Step Potassic, Greg Marshall, Yates Cup again. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and the Hardy Cup's a pretty good one, too. And can Acadia make a run here?
It's a good question. Good question.
Ranked fourth in the nation. It's been a while. All right, time now to say goodbye to those of you watching on TV. Up next, on Sportsnet, it's Hockey Central, Carolyn Cameron. They got three games on the network tonight. Bruins visit the Red Wings on Sportsnet East and Ontario at 7 Eastern. A couple of great regional matchups as the Canucks host the Jets on Sportsnet Pacific, and the Oilers host Taylor Hall and the Devils on Sportsnet West. Up next on Sportsnet 360, WWE Aftermath ahead of SmackDown Live. Meanwhile, Tim and Sid continues on Sportsnet 590 of the Fan in Toronto.
Hello to everyone on this Friday on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, driving around the city or listening on pod or however you're listening. We appreciate you. It's good to see you. Good to continue to see you.
First off, they stayed with us, so you're saying hello to the people that
were
still
with us. I just felt like there was a transition, and I felt like I needed to add
to good to see them, and they're on radio.
Well, why can't I say that? Hey, you're in your car. Hey, it's good to see you.
Because you can't
see
him.
It's the personal touch.
Oh, is that?
It's the person. It's theater of the mind, McAuliffe.
Are you peering through their radio dial at them?
I'm Marconi.
That's kind of creepy.
Over the air, over the ocean.
Oh, that, yeah, oh, Marconi. Yeah, there you go.
For the first time ever. Marconi, heritage moment.
I got it. So great to talk to you.
There you go. See? How did the cat win Best of the Week? That was the worst Best of the Week winner we have ever had.
I think people,
ever.
Honestly, this is what I think. I think that there's a generation of younger people that are so sick of the stuck-up fake broadcasters of the world that they just want to have someone have an honest reaction to something.
Right.
Anything. That they vote for that, even though what else is he going to say when there's a cat on the field that stops the game?
Like, you can't play that seriously.
And he's already done it. Like, Harlan did it with a drunk guy on the field in San Francisco or somewhere near
better.
San Francisco, which was significantly better. Did both win the Best of the Week? Because I think they did. I think Harlan is now a two-time champ. Best of the Week.
That's next-gen Tim and Sid stats there, Sheldon, in the back. Best of the Week winners.
Oh, yeah?
Do we have multiple Best of the Week winners? Let's figure that out. Speaking of stuck-up broadcasters, McAuliffe, MLS Cup is this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern in Seattle. 69,000 people are expected to turn out between the Sounders and Toronto FC.
I love how you're spacing it out between
I don't know what you're talking
broadcasters
about.
And then bringing on the guests.
I don't know what you're talking about.
69,000 people at CenturyLink
Field. I'm just spreading it out. From Footy Prime, the podcast, excuse me.
You're going to say the Footy Show. Prime, the podcast.
James Sharman is joining us on the line to talk MLS Cup 2019. And we'll probably get to Canada's eventual win next week in Orlando a week from tonight against the United States. In the CONCACAF Nations League. Sharman, how you doing, man?
Fellas, I've missed you. Well, I missed him anyway. It's been a while.
I missed him anyway. It's been a while.
How you doing, boys?
I'm
very good. How are you doing?
I'm all right, man. I recommend retirement. It's great.
Did I see you chirp
my... I miss your scent.
I don't. Did I see you chirp my soup tweet earlier today?
Oh, well, somewhat, yeah. I mean, I'm not against soup. I like soup, but it's a rather broad comment you made there that soup's always great. It's not always great. There's bad soup out there. It depends what kind of soup you have.
Give me a bad soup. What's a bad soup?
Fish head soup.
Yeah. Okay, well, you grabbed the worst one. Obviously,
gazpacho. Cold.
What did you
tomatoes.
Just call me?
Yeah, precisely. Cold soup, right? Yeah. Awful stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there's bad soups out there. But anyone who says, I don't eat soup is an idiot, because there's a soup out there for you.
Correct.
It's like people saying that I don't like beer or I don't like wine.
Right. Who says that?
Well, you know, there's too many variations out there. So
I'm not trying to be gross here, so don't take it anywhere, please, guys. But I know you like pies, Sharman.
I do like pies.
And you can get good ones, right?
You know what? You can get really good pies if you know where to shop.
Where would I shop if I was looking for
a pie store? I know a guy.
Yeah.
There's a place called Shaman's Proper.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the pies are, well, they will be award-winning at some point.
Yep.
But they're outstanding.
They right now, they're award eligible, and soon they will be award-winning.
Let's hope so. And maybe one day they can sponsor your little show.
Oh, there we go.
Let's go. Free stuff.
I like it.
I like it.
Do you do a chicken pot? Because if you do a chicken pot, Uncle Timmy's in.
We do a chicken pot pie. We do a steak and cheese, a chicken baldy.
Ooh,
steak and cheese.
Name it, man. They're pretty. Tell you what, one day I'll bring them over and we'll have a little meal together. How about that?
Sebastian in here is saying they're good. He's already saying, I'm going to try them.
As long as
Sebastian, Sabathia's got a refined palate.
As long as you don't bring Danny Dicchio, then I'm all for that.
Charm, let's talk soccer.
We got a game here on Sunday afternoon. Toronto FC, they're unbeaten in 13 straight games. They took on DC United at home. They went to Shea Stadium. They beat NYFC. They went to Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
I love Shea Stadium. I know what you mean.
I know. City Field. Thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry. Not the place that isn't their real home. They beat them there. Mm-hmm. They went to Atlanta. They won in dramatic fashion down there. Has the storybook ended, do you think, Sharms? Does TFC, does Greg Vanney and company have another road upset in them on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and what a run it's been so far. No one's thought they'd do this, given the injuries, the Josie out the door, and Omar Gonzalez, but they found a way to score late goals. They're really peaking at just the right time, aren't they? It's amazing, as are Seattle, who have obviously themselves come through a big surprising run in the playoffs. But I've got a feeling TFC could do this once again. They just know what they are. I'm assuming Omar Gonzalez gets back in the heart of defense for this one. Pozuelo is playing as well as he's played all season long, and they just have this system and this self-belief, which is a bit of a cliche, I know that, but if you remember the last couple of runs to the final, they had that X factor. They really believed in themselves, and I'm feeling the same thing this time around. They're getting it done a different way, perhaps, without Sebastian Giovinco, but they're getting it done, and I don't see why they can't win this thing. It's going to be tight, very close contest, but yeah, I'm feeling very positive about this.
What's the gut full of pies tell you about Jozy Altidore and his ability to play in this game?
I can't see it. You know, no. He hasn't, I don't think, kicked a ball for about a month. It would be a massive gamble. Maybe if they can find a place on the bench for him, if you can give him perhaps 10 minutes, if they have to, if they're desperate, it's nice to have that. I know they're mentioning both Vanny and Jozy this week, some comments about, it'll be a small miracle. They're playing games. Yeah. I can't see him starting, maybe gets a spot on the bench perhaps, but it'd be a big gamble. And so far, let's be honest, I mean, they haven't really missed him. They found a way to persevere without him.
What will be the more significant MLS Cup if TFC wins Sunday afternoon without Jozy Altidore? Will it be this year without their highest paid player, or will 2017 still have that magic feel for the club and the supporters?
Yeah, you know, I think it's the first one still. The first one's always
your
really
first.
Special.
Yeah, never forget your first.
You never forget your first, you know, no matter how drunk you
remember the first time I ate. I remember the first time I ate Charmin's pies. It was fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. The first time you tasted was pretty special.
Yeah. Segue off that, pal.
You know that, right? The first time is really special, you know, that run, given what we've been, you know, had to endure for the previous 10 years. That was amazing. This time around, it's a different way, but we expect something this season. You know, perhaps not a championship, but it's still a pretty good team on paper. That 2017 team will be, you know, one of the, if not the best MLS teams we've ever seen. And that was, you know, that's at home too. I think, you know, I hate to say it, but Toronto is a big event city, right? And with the game not being here, it's lacking something, perhaps the mainstream fan. The hardcore, obviously, you know, I understand how big this is, but the fact that it was at home, it was the first time they come close. That made it special.
James Sharman of the Footy Prime podcast joining us here on Tim and Sid.
Did the same thing I did.
I feel like the familiarity is being overplayed. Like, these are, I know it's the rubber match. I know that they have met twice in the finals before, and this is the third time in 4 years, but these are different teams, no?
Yeah, well, TFC certainly is. Seattle's pretty similar, but obviously Chad Marshall, who's their standout centre-half for a long, long time, retired this season. So because of that, it's a little bit of a different look. But for me, it's funny. I mentioned this on our podcast with Dicchio and Forrest last week, saying, is it a little bit boring? You know, again, Seattle, mate, I was shut down. No, it's not. It's amazing. To me, it's a bit boring. You know, I want to see a different challenge every now and again. But the thing is, these teams know each other really well. It's a decent rivalry. Yeah, there's some slight changes, as I mentioned, TFC particularly. Without Giovinco, it's a very different side. Hasn't quite got the same firepower, the same pace going forward, quite the same attacking verve, but they might be more balanced, perhaps, than the previous edition. So, yeah, it's not the same as it was, but for me, Sounders again, really? Oh, geez, I'm getting sick and tired of Nick Lodero and company.
It's interesting, though. ABC, to give them the time slot on the Sunday afternoon, is an interesting move for me.
Yeah.
Like, do they are they
obviously.
They thinking, well, NFL's on, so I don't know if we're going to win the time slot anyway, so they can have it? Or does it speak to the fact that
counter program?
Maybe counter program. Were you surprised ABC is giving it that kind of time, Charms?
Yeah, I am actually. And at the same time, I'm not sure where the TV deal is in the States right now, but I believe it's coming up for a new one pretty soon. It is in Canada in the next couple of years, and maybe that's part of it. Viewership's been down this year across MLS from a TV standpoint, not in the stadium, as obviously it just keeps growing, but I think TV-wise, it's down. So maybe they're trying something here. But listen, soccer, it's arrived. It's not going anywhere. We know that. CBS Sports, I believe, have just acquired the rights to the Champions League for 2021 to 2024, which is huge. I think it's the first time they've had that for 30, 40 years maybe. They're getting into the game now as well. So, you know, listen, we know it's not the NFL. We understand that. Bit of a surprise, but we'll see what the numbers are. It'll be interesting, especially the Canadian team too, which doesn't help the U.S. Ratings for sure.
No, not at all. Before I finish on this, who is this run said most about? Because halfway through this year, I thought this was going to be, you know, just another year for TFC, and here they are in the MLS Cup final. Who is this said most about?
You know, I think Greg Vanney, I mean, he doesn't need to earn more kudos given that he's won a championship before, but this team had a very poor slump in the middle of the season. They were winless in 8 games at one point. I think one win in 12 or 17 matches. He changed some things up. He's got a very versatile team. His tactics have been spot on in these playoffs. I think his star has really grown even more, if that's possible. So this is Greg Vanney's team. Before, it was certainly Sebastian Giovinco's team, and without Altidore, who's been the face of this team along with Margaret Bradley for a long time as well, I think it's a great situation for Greg Vanney in his future, whether he stays at TFC long term or moves somewhere else. He's been absolutely brilliant, great management. So that's a big part of it. Also, I think we'll look back on this maybe for Margaret Bradley as well. The Athletic had a report this week that if they win the Cup, he'll get an automatic extension for a year at $6.5 million, which is great for him. It does, but it also ties their hands, right, going forward, because Bradley, wonderful servant, big figure in Toronto sports, of course, but he's not worth $6.5 million nowadays, and he's not worth a DP spot. So obviously they trade that predicament for a championship. And what's to look at here, a guy we thought might be on his way out could be back for another year at a big pay ticket.
James Sharman, longtime friend of this program and host of Footy Prime, the podcast, joining us here on Tim and Sid.
Footy Prime, the podcast.
Yeah, what did I say?
Oh, I know. I'm just making sure
you're emphasizing.
Both screwed it up twice. So
Footy Prime, the podcast, here on Tim and Sid.
Yeah, it's Footy Prime, the podcast.
The podcast.
Like the Ohio State.
Although the Footy Prime podcast works too. So, yeah, Footy Prime in there.
Sharms, in terms of Canada, in terms of the result last month at BMO against the United States in the Nations League, because they got a game a week tonight in Orlando, when you look at TFC in this run, what has this done for Canadian soccer? And not just Richie Larea and Jonathan Osorio and guys inside TFC. Do you think this 13-game run by TFC has helped out our national men's program a little bit in terms of what we saw recently and what we hope to see next week?
Well, it shows that we are developing players, you know, within the confines of Canada, within the confines of Major League Soccer and the Canadian Premier League. You know, the couple of players got their first, look in the Canadian squad this season as well. So we're seeing Canadians develop on home soil and get an opportunity with the national team and playing key roles, such as Jonathan Osorio being a key member. You mentioned Richie Larea, who's come out of nowhere really this season, but TFC and for Canada. And I think it's just, I mean, obviously we see it from the blinkered viewpoint of a Toronto sports fan, given that it's TFC. I'm sure Whitecaps fans aren't looking at it quite the same way, and Montreal Impact fans certainly aren't looking at it quite the same way. But we're seeing this moment in Canadian soccer where things are pretty good right now. We've got a new domestic league coming off its first season. We're seeing a Canadian team in MLS Cup, and we're seeing a Canadian team just being the arch enemy for the first time in a long, long time. And a team that's on the cusp of maybe making the hex, finally, perhaps.
It's
still
go.
A long way to go, of course.
Let's go.
Given how poor it's been to follow this sport in this country for so many years, this is a moment that we can really enjoy, I think, no matter what happens on Sunday and no matter what happens in Orlando next week.
James, quickly, Liverpool have a 6-point lead on Manchester City in the Premier League. They go head-to-head Sunday morning. How will Liverpool screw this up this year?
Thanks, pal. I know you're looking forward to getting that one in there. They'll find a way.
They're good at it.
They'll find a way.
I still think City are going to win it this year.
Agreed.
Simple as that. And it might not be anything that the Reds do. It's going to be that City are still City. They're deeper than Liverpool. And there's still a lot of football left. Now, if Liverpool win on Sunday, that's 9 points. Maybe it's a different conversation. But how will they find a way to screw it up? If Sadio Mane gets injured and Mo Salah gets injured, then that could be troublesome, couldn't it? I don't know. So thanks for ending this in a negative.
Tim
has one more.
Started on soups and pies. I want to close on sausage. Have you ever had the Italian sausage at BMO Field?
It's outstanding. It is.
So you agree with Mike Babcock?
I do. I heard that. Yeah, I love me some Italian sausage, especially at BMO Field. So, Yeah. So let's end on that. That's positive. You're right. But they do need pies at BMO Field as well, don't you think?
Sherman's Proper Pies. 5 out of 5 stars on Facebook reviews.
There you go.
5 out of 5.
I rated it earlier this morning.
For Sherman's Proper Pie.
If there's anyone listening and you want some pie, then Sherman's the guy to talk to, man.
Sherman's Proper Pies. Look it up online. Hey, buddy, it is awesome to catch up with you. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks, boys. Happy to. It's been a while, but anytime.
Good to talk to you, brother. There is James Sherman. One of the, contrary to what I may say on air, he's one of the good guys. Like one of the good guys in our business, James Sherman. So it's great to talk to him.
It is good. We're closing out the week. You know how we do that?
How do we do that, Tim?
We do that with what we missed.
What we missed!
And not only is it what we missed, Sixero, but it's Friday.
Oh, hit me with it.
Then it's Saturday, Sunday.
It's Friday, then. It's Saturday, Sunday, what?
If you don't know, kids, this is how we get into the weekend with what we missed and a little working. NCAA has ruled Memphis center James Wiseman, who will probably be the first overall pick in the 2020 NBA draft, is ineligible. Memphis head coach Penny Hardaway assisted Wiseman and his family's move to Memphis in 2018. So they say that he is now a booster. Hardaway is a booster because he helped move them. Sixero, given this and what we're hearing on Chase Young at Ohio State, are we about to change the game on NCAA? Like, could this put it all over the edge?
Big picture, yes. Like, in 15 years, these stories will not exist. They won't exist. This pettiness, at some point, compensation will be given properly to athletes who are responsible or partly responsible for $7 billion TV contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So these stories are going to be the way of the dinosaur, and I'm looking forward to that.
But given the names that have come out in the last, this is the first overall pick in the NBA draft, you can predict where you're going to see the Ohio State defensive end, but it's a first-round pick as well. Those kind of names are going to start having people weigh in who don't normally weigh in and are going to push it over the edge. I guarantee you this will just expedite the ridiculousness of the NCAA.
Tim, a quick update on this story specifically.
Mm-hmm.
NCAA ruled that James Wiseman was ineligible to play this season, but the center is scheduled to play tonight when the Tigers take on Illinois-Chicago thanks to an emergency temporary restraining order, according to the university. So that is the absolute latest. He's at least going to play short term, but we're in the courts, so good times.
Yeah,
we're in the courts.
His NCAA debut, if I'm not mistaken, and this is just off the top of the dome, 28 points, 11 rebounds in 22 minutes.
He's got talent.
Yeah.
He's got some talent.
Tampa Bay Lightning, Buffalo Sabres are in Stockholm. All right. They're in Sweden for another edition of the NHL's Global Series.
Oh, just say Europe.
Yeah, they're in Sweden.
Yeah.
Gary Bettman announced 2 more stops next year, Prague, Helsinki. But it wasn't all good news, especially if you're a fan of players participating in the Olympics. Bettman said, quote, "I don't want to sound like a broken record on the subject, but I think going to the Olympics is a challenge for us. From our standpoint, we have found going to the Olympics to be incredibly disruptive to our season." Do you think we'll see
players at the 2022 Beijing Olympics?
This is an interesting pivot to me. Because you have guys like Alexander Ovechkin go over to China. You've had teams recently go over to China.
Yeah, like constantly wooing China.
Why now the change in tone with the National Hockey League? Is it somewhat related to what Adam Silver and the NBA potentially just went through? I don't have anything to verify that.
Right.
But the National Hockey League for the last 3 years looked like they were fairly steadfast and they wanted to be over there for 2022.
This could still just be negotiated.
Okay, listen, insurance, it could be a lot of things. But I find that pivot today very interesting considering what's happened.
Hey, China has, and for those who don't know, especially in the Toronto area, China has been sending over their kids to play hockey to train them for 2022. Like, they are taking this serious. They have taken over different arenas in and around the city attempting to train Chinese youngsters in the art of hockey.
To get them ready for that tournament.
To get them ready for that very tournament. So I think this is all about money. Shockingly,
this
is all about money. But I think that they're trying to get what the NBA hasn't gotten yet and what the NHL needs, and that is cash money to go to these tournaments.
You know what you and I never say anymore on air?
What's that?
You know what? This isn't about money. It's about doing the right thing.
Well, Nate Burleson said it.
Well, Nate Burleson said it. Shout out Nate Burleson. If you're getting in your car late and you're just listening out, go find the Nate Burleson conversation we had this hour. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Kawhi and load management. Trust me.
Jeff Passan, ESPN insider baseball, good friend of ours and friend of the show, barfed on Twitter today and set a bunch of storms up for the hot stove.
But he physically got ill.
He went on Twitter. He said a bunch of things. Hot stove warming up. One of them said the Texas Rangers have expressed interest in Josh Donaldson as they head into the offseason, in which they have a little money to spend. They're making third base and starting pitching a priority. And Donaldson coming off the season in Atlanta. What do you think? You think Donaldson gets a deal in Texas?
They need a lot of pitching in Texas.
Remember the history between Blue Jays, and Texas.
Josh Donaldson sat there that entire offseason a year ago and saying to himself, what the hell?
Right.
I'm a former league MVP.
Mm-hmm.
The smart teams this offseason, Tim, put the money on the table early, will get their guys. Any team worth their salt with any level of intelligence will do that. And I think Donaldson will get something multi-years to his liking because he had a pretty good year with Atlanta. He looked good.
And now, the second installment of Sportsnet Next Gen Stats.
Really?
You asked earlier whether or not multiple winners of Best of the Week have arisen. We have at least three. Number one.
Push party tonight.
Munenori Kawasaki is a multiple Best of the Week winner.
As he should be.
Joey Ryan, the wrestler whose finishing move included his junk, is a multiple-time winner of the Best of the Week.
Joey Ryan's the guy where his opponent would grab his junk and he would shift his body and the guy would do a 360 because the force from his groin was so great.
This was the original Italian sausage.
I was going to throw a Charmin joke in there, but it's inappropriate. Right.
So if you want me to grab yours and see if you could finish the same way, let me know at any juncture in time.
No.
And we can practice.
I'll save that for my special lady.
And the third multiple winner of the Best of the Week, Sid Sixero. And I have on a list here, and this is, of course, from Next Gen Stats.
Of course, we pay
Sports
a lot of money.
Yeah. Next Gen Stats. It says, one, Sid dancing, and two, Sid's chins. So both your dancing and your chins have been multiple Next Gen Stat related Best of the Week winners.
I forgot the context of the chins themselves. What was the chin one? It's just me with chins and that one? Is that basically all it was?
I think it's basically every time you do something that ends up on the Best of the Week, your chins do jiggle.
I eat James Charman's pies all the time. Of course I got chins.
I'm just trying to translate. I don't know. These are stats. Right.
So this is how we end the week. Hey. I worked all 5 days with you, and this is how we're going to end the week.
You're
making fun of my bullying me about my chins after enjoying a good lunch here in the Rogers Cup.
We're done, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you Monday. This was a fun show, Tim.
It was fun.
I enjoyed it.